Yo, straight, check me out, nigga. Sort of like Malcolm at the Autobahn. They coming for me. My time is money, no auto mall. See, ball for ball, I keep it pushing, no R&R. No foreign bras and no promotion for foreign cars. The game is ours, let's keep it funky. Who said he was? Like Staten Island, Italians bleed spaghetti sauce. If y'all ain't shaking with Stallion, then y'all already lost. Already crossed them like Christ, I'm ready for them. Plus anybody that say no, I'm taking numbers. I'm taking names, I'll take your chains. Kick this hunger, pain, pain, pain. Can you feel the thunder and rain? I don't talk.
Good afternoon, soccer aficionados. Welcome to the Champions League, the European soccer show with the European soccer guy. I'm your host, DJ Cruyff, and you're listening to the best radio from San Fran, Japan, Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu or 102.3 FM. This is the fourth episode of a 10 shows marathon that will hang around with you during this magic tournament called Champions League, the most prestigious club competition in European soccer, will culminate with the final game at the end of who knows? Who knows, ladies and gentlemen? We don't know when the Champions League will come back after, you know, the hiatus from the coronavirus and the pandemic that's all over the world now, basically. I just wanted, you know, to update you my conditions. As you well know, I'm from Italy, Northern Italy, which is where I am right now. I came back from San Raphael, from beautiful Angelico Hall, so I will not record shows there anymore. I fear I will not be able to come back because of, you know, the travel ban from Europe back to the US. So this is probably it for me, Sir Raphael. But, you know, DJ Cruyff still has an internet connection, so he can record some stuff from Italy and send it back to Sir Raphael, and they will upload it. So we'll hang out together again. My comeback to Italy has been trouble, has been really tough for me to settle down here because of, you know, just a week before we were on spring break and living our best lives and going in Vegas and Venice Beach, we went to Yosemite, and this is real quick, I just wanted to update you. And 1 week later, I'm in Italy in my room, just self-quarantining myself, even from my family, because when I came back, my mom had a high fever, unfortunately, and she's fine now. She tested negative for the virus. This was good, but you know, my grandma is ill as well, and as you well know, it's tough because it's spreading all around the world real quick, and I just prefer to be in quarantine in, you know, in my home, close to the person I care the most, which is my family. I encourage you to do the same. Just practice social distancing and be safe. Wash your hands and not touch your face. You've heard this many times now, but just important to stress the consequences that your action may, you know, may have on not only your life, but the life of society in general and the people you love the most. So it's really unfortunate because I had multiple plans to watch MLS games in the US. I got this media pass because I'm a sports journalist in Italy, and I got this media pass from the US basketball to go in mid-April to see the Nike Hoop Summit in Portland, Oregon. That's canceled, of course. So really unfortunate event that's going on in the world, this pandemic, but everyone has to deal with it, so just make sure, be safe. Yeah, so I told you, my mom's health is pretty good. She's fine now. That's a thing that was concerning me a lot during spring break, because she was in hospital and I was living my best life. I felt guilty for her, and her conditions were, you know, not good back then, but now she's better. And just the whole, please keep in mind that the whole situation in Northern Italy is just very bad. And we are forced to be in our home, of course, and police is, you know, patrolling the streets. So everyone, you know, is mandatory to be in the house. It's mandatory. So that's what we're doing. But I made a list, guys, of dear listeners here, some Penguin Radio. I made a list of people who tested positive for coronavirus, as it's truly heartbreaking, because a lot of these guys are wonderful people before they are players or, you know, personalities all over the soccer world. So hope for them that they'll be, you know, fine in the shortest period of time, as soon as possible. And it's really a tough moment, but, you know, the soccer world as part of a bigger world, which is the real life world, right? Because we are not watching games just in another environment. It just all the whole thing is part of this, you know, major picture, right? And the soccer world, I think, has done a good job in taking into consideration the health of not only the spectators, not only the public, but also the players themselves. So every huge league now in the world is shut down. I was watching this tweet by some media member from Australia. The Australian League was the one who, you know, closed at the very end of it, because in Australia apparently there is not much of the corona stuff now, but every league in the world has stopped. I have it right here, right in front of me. So in Austria, they'll begin in May. In Finland, they postponed it until the end of May. Or we have Italy, for example. The date now is the 3rd of April, but for sure it will be postponed again. The USA, the MLS, said they will resume it in the 10th of May. Argentina will start at the end of March. I don't know, seems too optimistic. In Colombia or Ecuador, it's for an indefinite period of time, just like, for example, Qatar or Saudi Arabia. There are some other leagues, for example, in India. The soccer league in India has ended, so they're not playing right now. But literally all over the world has stopped. There is no soccer all over the world. And it's tough, you know, to have a program about sports when there is no sports around. But, you know, we can, you know, read some article together or watch some historical past games. That would be really, really great. I've been watching a lot of just, I don't know, I was watching the other day the 1996 UCL final between Ajax and Juventus. It was Del Piero against Jari Litmanen. It was a great game. We can do that. We, for sure, will have a lot of stuff to talk about. The list of players, of people, of soccer people, who tested positive for coronavirus, and it's for sure an underestimation, includes Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta, Chelsea midfielder Callum Hudson-Odoi, Greek side Olympiakos president Evangelos Marinakis, six unnamed member of the first team and technical staff from Spanish club Espanyol, the players from Italian club Fiorentina in Florence, Cutrone, Pezzella and Vlahovic, the president of the Japanese Football Association, Kozo Tajima, three players for Juventus, a team in the Champions League, Paulo Dybala, Blaise Matuidi and Daniele Rugani, the Liga MX president Enrique Bonilla, five players of Italian club Sampdoria, based in Genova, including Swedish international Albin Ekdal, a Sporting Club member of New York City FC in the US. Also the Belgian world-class midfielder Marouane Fellaini, who now plays in China. In China, got the virus. As well as five players or staff members of Valencia, the Spanish side, including Garay and Mangala. So this is just a brief list. It's not full. I took it from CBSSports.com that really, really shows how, you know, the spreading of the virus has gone global. And as the sport world has stopped, we'll try to figure out ways to talk about sports in, you know, other context, another historical/in-depth analysis of, you know, non-current event, because there are none. We really have no idea what will happen. We know this summer the European Championship and Her Majesty the Olympics are being postponed to 2021, even though they'll be named 2020 still, probably because of sponsorship and, I don't know, too much money was poured into the merchandising and stuff, so the name will be the same. There are possibilities that this soccer season will end up being played without fans until the end of July. That will really be unprecedented, but can you believe that? The decisive soccer games for Serie A, for the Premier League, for the La Liga in Spain, or for the Champions League itself, at the end of July. That's really strange. What is for sure is the very bad impact that this will have on minor leagues and smaller clubs. Because if powerhouses like Real Madrid or Bayern Munich will survive, 100%, they will survive any kind of crisis, a plethora of countryside clubs will lack a lot of existential money, and their survival is as uncertain as ever. So keep in mind to support as much as you can, as you know, in using your platform to support your smaller clubs, because they will suffer a lot. This is the first introduction of the fourth episode. Just, I know it's not as energetic as always, it's not as happy as always, but this is the period of time we're living in. So after the break, we'll talk about some Champions League, because the first knockout stage was being played, the second leg was being played, we have some eliminations, we have some Europa League to talk about as well, we have a lot of stuff. So now break, when we come back, we will enjoy our time together.
DU Did You Know is brought to you by Penguin Radio. DU Did You Know that the Dominican Scholarly and Creative Works Conference is coming up in April? What's that? The Dominican Scholarly and Creative Works Conference is an opportunity for Dominican students to practice their presentation skills by showcasing their senior capstone research projects to a live audience.
Is there any way this can help me after college?
Let's ask Professor Bill Phillips, one of the founders of the conference.
Presenting yourself in this manner is very good experience, because when you go out on the job market, you have to present yourself and you have to have confidence when you do it. This is just one more way of getting that confidence.
Along with Professor Bill Phillips, Michael Pujols is one of the other founding members of the Dominican Scholarly and Creative Works Conference. Can you tell us about Dominican Scholar?
The role of Dominican Scholar is we're taking the conference schedule, we're putting online in Dominican Scholar, and then we're also, if students want to, and of course, you know, with their faculty advisor permission, we can also upload the posters, we can upload their presentations or slide sets, you know, what have you. So Dominican Scholar plays the electronic role as far as getting the conference out there and making it available to the public.
Is there anything you would like to add, Professor Phillips?
It's a celebration of the capstone project that all students are working on. And it's a privilege to present your research and to have other people see what you're doing, because it's a culmination of your academic experience here at Dominican. And you should be able to be on a platform where you could just show off the stuff that you've done.
How can I find out more information?
the link for Dominican Scholar is scholar.dominican.edu.
Find out more information at scholar.dominican.edu. See you there!
DU Did You Know, brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio.
Welcome back to the Champions League, the only show that brings you inside the first knockout stage of the Champions League. And it's not easy to talk about the second leg of the games because there were just four of them. And the other four, which were, you know, supposedly being played the following week, were postponed because of coronavirus. So we don't have the second leg of the games between Man City and Real Madrid, Juventus and Olympique Lyon, Barcelona and Naples, and we don't have, of course, the game between Bayern Munich and Chelsea. We just have the other four games, which we'll be discussing during this show. The four games played in the second leg between Valencia and Atalanta, Rasenball, Sport Leipzig and Tottenham, and Paris Saint-Germain and Borussia Dortmund, and the last one, of course, the most surprising one, Liverpool against Atletico Madrid. So we'll begin with the showdown between the Spanish side Valencia and the Italian one Atalanta, which was another great display by Atalanta of their incredible goal-scoring abilities. Valencia had no defenders such as Garay, Gabriel Paulista and Mangala, and they also lacked the bull, his nicknamed El Toro, Maxi Gomez, the striker, while Atalanta was able to, you know, put on the pitch the best starting 11 they can. So it was really strange. The game was really, really strange because the stadium was empty. It was, you know, the game was played behind closed doors because of coronavirus, of course, and there was a supporter, actually. There was only one guy watching the game, because the statue was there, the statue of Vicente Navarro. Mr. Navarro held the same seat. He was a season ticket holder for like 70 years. Mr. Navarro's seat, number 1064, in the row 15 of the Tribuna Central in the Mestalla Stadium in Valencia, has been, he was there all the time, every time, since the 60s. Navarro lost his sight when he was 54 due to a detached retina. And despite being blind for around 40 years, he continued to attend games with his son, helped by the atmosphere, and his son who would describe what was happening on the field. After dying 3 years ago, Navarro was honored in 2019 with the statue at Valencia Stadium. What a great, great story. The stadium used the speakers to simulate fans' chants, but what really created was a surreal atmosphere. The environmental situation was so strange. Many huge errors by both defensive sides allowed a lot of goals, I think because of that. When you cannot fully concentrate, when you have, you just can feel it when there is something off in just the atmosphere around you. And that's what really stuck out to me. After 90 seconds, Ilicic, one of the best players in this edition of the Champions League, dribbled all the way through Valencia's defense. Diakabi tackled him hard. Very clear penalty for Atalanta. Ilicic kicked the penalty low in the middle, a very basic penalty, but effective because the goalkeeper, Silasen, dove to his left. The early advantage was goal for Atalanta, who won 4-1 in Milan just a couple of weeks ago. Cillessen, the goalkeeper from Valencia, he was in the midst of rumors, and his teammates apparently are not satisfied with his performances. Safe of a huge advantage, Atalanta had no interest in risky ball possession in its own half. Goalkeepers Portiello and defenders Caldara, Gimsiti and Palomino had no interest whatsoever in a build-up phase. We saw so many long balls from both sides in the first half an hour. Not the most beautiful game, let's say that. Not the beautiful game. Man-marking tactics by Atalanta are so unique in European modern soccer, that's really a thing of beauty. Analyze how they decompose the game in single matchups. Deron was the man on Valencia's brain, captain Dani Parejo, while Pazlic guarded Kondogbia. We saw small samples of Ilicic's talents in previous years in Florence or Palermo, but with Gasperini's Atalanta, he found the key to his success: continuity. He also became more efficient close to the goal. In a previous Serie A game, Atalanta destroyed Lecce in Puglia, which is a southern region of Italy with great sea and great seafood, scoring 7 goals, and once again dominating every phase of the game. If you love trequartistas, which is a particular kind of offensive midfielder, and I know you, Penguin Radio listeners, love your trequartistas, rewatch the game, because Lecce's Leonardo Saponara is really a unique player. Valencia lacked a bit of creativity to threaten Atalanta, but Valencia found the net in the 20th minute, as Palomino was not able to kick out a through ball outside the penalty area. Kevin Gameiro, the former Paris Saint-Germain striker, made it 1-1. Playing without a physical striker such as Duván Zapata, Atalanta had some troubles in keeping the ball in front. Valencia defenders were so dominant in aerial duels. Ilicic was the one creator of chances for Atalanta. He was dangerous all over the place and during the whole game. Sometimes the game gave me the impression of being an amateur game, because literally every time a team crossed the half-court line, they were able to create a huge chance. Defenses were absolutely nowhere to be found. Backup centre-back for Valencia, Mukhtar Diakabi, is one of the worst we saw in this edition of the Champions League. He allowed Ilicic's second penalty kick as well, after playing water polo in the area. Diakabi, my friend, don't use your hands. You're not allowed in soccer. A great 50th minute by Swiss midfielder Remo Freuler found a crossbar. Powerful play by a really important piece in Atalanta's system. Freuler is really good. Few moments after this crossbar, a great cross by Ferran Torres assisted Gameiro in the middle of the penalty area, who heads it in to make it 2-2. Few minutes later, Ferran was the one finding the goal after a lovely assist by Dani Parejo. Ferran was able to chip the ball over the top of Atalanta's goalkeeper. Still, down 3-2, Atalanta was able to put the exclamation mark on the qualification, thanks once again to Josip Ilicic, who found the net at the 70th minute after a great counter-attack. And since we are living in the best season of Atalanta's history, they were able to win this game as well. And guess who scored a fourth goal? Josip Ilicic, of course. Again, his fourth goal of the night. He opened his left foot with a great touch, he put the ball under the top left corner, where goalkeeper Cillessen was not able to save it. It was an historic fourth personal goal assisted by Freuler. Atalanta is now through for the first time in their club's history to the Champions League quarterfinals. Let's go to the Leipzig-Tottenham game. This was completely lopsided. Leipzig dominated both legs, to be honest. They just dominated in London 1-0. It was the result. And they dominated here in East Germany as well. It was a pretty huge performance for the German side, to be honest, which as well qualifies to the quarterfinals for the first time in club's history. Tottenham, now coached by Mourinho, of course, they lacked, because of injuries, Harry Kane, one of the best strikers in the world, Heung-min Song, one of the best wingers in the world from South Korea, Sissoko and Bergwijn were also nowhere to be found for Tottenham squad with some serious injury concerns. So Mourinho decided to play with Dele Alli as the lone striker, with Lucas Moura and Eric, nicknamed El Coco Lamela, behind the Englishman. The choice did not work, of course, but absences played a pretty big part of the last year's finalist elimination. Leipzig earned the qualification to its first ever Champions League quarterfinals, winning 3-0 in a dominant fashion. Leipzig was flexible during the 180 minutes of both legs, and in both England and Germany caused all sorts of problems to Tottenham. Mourinho tried to tie the aggregate result with a more offensive pressing system, but Leipzig found out how to exploit Tottenham's weaknesses in negative transition. Marcel Sabitzer scored twice in the first 20 minutes to put the qualification on ice early. The Austrian offensive midfielder has been one of the most outstanding players of the season for Leipzig, a truly brilliant talent. Leipzig defender Klostermann was pretty great in neutralizing Alli. Nagelsmann's team aggressiveness allowed only 0.5 expected goals, which is not much, considering that Tottenham was supposed to attack to overcome the 1-0 loss in the first leg. The growth process for Tottenham looks over. I'm sorry, Tottenham, your cycle is probably over. After sacking longtime manager Mauricio Pochettino, the newly appointed Jose Mourinho has not found the magical solution to make this season less painful. When we come back, we'll be analyzing the Atletico Madrid-Liverpool game and the PSG-Borussia Dortmund game.
If you're looking for a fun way to get away from the grind of homework and quizzes, then the California Film Institute has you covered. One of the largest nonprofit film organizations in the Bay Area, the CFI proudly owns and operates the Christopher B. Smith Rafael Film Center on 4th Street in downtown San Rafael. The Rafael Theater is open year-round and is home to the prestigious Mill Valley Film Festival and the Docklands Documentary Film Festival. The Rafael's catalog of films include award-winning independent dramas, shocking and revealing documentaries, the best in world cinema, rare retrospectives, along with opera and ballet performances presented live on screen. The Smith Rafael Film Center is located at 1118 4th Street in San Rafael between A and B Streets. The Smith Rafael Film Center is the perfect place to start a romantic evening or to decompress with a group of friends. To keep up with everything happening at the Rafael, please visit our website at rafaelfilm.org. Sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yeah!
Welcome back to the Champions League, the only show right here on Penguin Radio, the Dominican.edu 102.3 FM. The only show that brings you inside the European soccer game. We are talking about the Champions League, the second leg of the first knockout stage. In particular, just two games in this segment: Atletico Madrid against Liverpool, the second leg in the historic Anfield Road, and the second one will be right after this: Paris Saint-Germain against Borussia Dortmund. Let's start from the game that everybody was looking for, because Liverpool, the reigning champions, are in trouble. They lost in Madrid 1-0, so they have to overcome adversities and once again win to advance to the quarterfinals. Liverpool lacked, however, their starting goalkeeper, the Brazilian finest Alisson, which is kind of an important miss because his replacement, Adrian, sucked. It was the game we were waiting for. Liverpool had the ball a lot, creating a lot of chances, trying to, you know, just, as I told you, overcome the loss in Madrid. Atleti defended a lot, as they always do. That's what they do. They defend just like the old Jose Mourinho's motto of parking the bus in front of the goal. Atleti's keeper Jan Oblak saved his team in at least four occasions. That's what one of the best keepers in the world can do for you, ladies and gentlemen. When you defend with a very low barycenter and still they manage to get through you, and you have the best keeper in the world, sometimes he saves you because he's the best keeper in the world. He is always a sure thing for his defenders. I'd love to have him back there. Atleti defenders know they can count on him every time. Liverpool's striker were not precise in the last 25 meters, especially Mané and Salah took a lot of bad decisions. In extra time, the defense showed the same problems we saw in the beginning of the season. Lack of communication between players and blatant errors helped Atleti steal a historic win in Anfield Road. With a good dose of luck, Atleti managed to kick the defending champs out. Marcos Llorente, the Spanish midfielder, found his career night. A great young holding midfielder was played in the right wing position and did great. Youngster João Félix played a humble physical game, drawing some important fouls to let his team breathe and advance through long balls. It was a great example of the good old catenaccio. It's an Italian word meaning strong chain, and it depicts how they create a barrier before the goal. Klopp, Liverpool's manager, at the end of the game was envy and angry about the outcome of the game. As the defending champs and basically already champions in their domestic league after 25 years, Liverpool was expected to play a bigger role in the Champions League this year. After the game, Klopp suggested Diego Simeone's Atletico do not play, quote, proper football, saying he is completely happy with the performance. But it's so difficult to play against a side like this, Klopp told BT Sport, adding he was searching for the right words. Quote, I don't understand, with the quality they have, the football they play. They could play proper football, but they stand deep and have counterattacks. We accept it, of course, but it doesn't feel right tonight. I realize I am a really bad loser, especially when the boys put such an effort in against world-class players on the other side who defend with two rows of four. We know in the past 2 years we had some lucky moments in the Champions League. You have to reach two finals. But today, everything was against us in the decisive moments. Well, Mr. Klopp was on fire in his interview, and he was pretty harsh against Atletico Madrid. But congrats to Atleti, they deserve to advance in the quarterfinals, and they will be tough to be knocked down, because they will not give up, never. Diego Simeone's Atletico does not give up. Perfect. We're here. PSG Borussia Dortmund, one of the games we are all been waiting for, because there were great players in it, just like Neymar, Jadon Sancho, Kylian Mbappe, and you know, winning 2-0. PSG qualifies for the quarterfinals as well, so it's one of the first times, I don't think it's the very first time, but one of the first times in club's history that PSG makes it to the quarterfinals. The French team was without wing Thomas Meunier and Italian midfielder Marco Verratti, who was replaced by former AS Rome regista Leandro Paredes. PSG had no Thiago Silva as well as Kylian Mbappé, who started off the bench. Unlike the first leg, PSG was finally playing an offensive-minded game, trying to maximize Neymar and Di Maria abilities. PSG moved the ball pretty well. Kimpembe and Kerrer, usually not the most trustworthy defenders, played a really good game. Every PSG player was pretty great in the non-possession phase. PSG was so dense and compact in the middle section of the field. Borussia found nowhere to go, no open spaces for Haaland or Jadon Sancho. Borussia had a pretty poor game, to be honest, by its best offensive players. So yes, PSG rightfully advanced to the quarterfinals. Borussia was not able to find those connections in tight spaces that, you know, is a feature for them. So typical of them, and efficient in their attacking mantra. We have to put some respect on Thomas Tuchel's name. We said pretty bad things in the last episode of this very show, of the Champions League, about him, but he proved himself a damn good coach in the most important game of his life. And one last thing before we go to break, dear listeners, right here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu or 102.3 FM. It was funny at the end of the game to watch the PSG players mocking Haaland's yoga celebration with the cockiness that's really typical of PSG players, to be honest. After the break, we'll finally talk about some Europa League after these words.
Like the Rambo, I get it done in the game, y'all. Do me a favor, don't ever play with my ball. Never been a player hater, I just ain't playing with y'all. You watch your lane, but look, I'm taking the charge. Going hard to get you 2 shots, now I'm facing a charge. Five to line, let's go take a ride. They might catch you by surprise if you let them slide. But if you build for the shit, then you might survive. Guess I see you when you wake up on the other side. Yeah, five to line, let's go take a ride. They might catch you by surprise if you let them slide. But if you build for the shit, then you might survive. I see you when you wake up on the other side. They might get you by surprise if you let them slide. But if you build for the shit, then you might survive. Guess I see you when you wake up on the other side.
The world is mine, yeah, get back. Don't mess with my stack, the game is whack. Yeah. About to drop the bomb, I'm the West Coast Don.
Welcome back to the Champions League, the only show that actually will bring you inside the other European competition, the Europa League. It's really different. It's a different level of competition. The Europa League is, it's a lower level competition, but it's beautiful because it's lower. Because, you know, with the Champions League, we adapt ourselves, we get used to just the very top, the very most beautiful thing ever. But it's not always like that. It's not always, you know, we don't always have the brightest sky up there. So we have to adjust and see some other, you know, see the beauty in something else. And the Europa League is that. It's completely that. So Europa League has more teams, has more games to watch, has more goals, has more crazy players, has more team from the Middle East, such as many examples. CFR Cluj from Romania, for example, made it to the knockout stage, and they have one knockout stage more than the Champions League, so they need two knockout stages before getting to the quarterfinals. And we were playing a lot of games, of course, because the Europa League plays basically every week. So in the very first knockout stage, for example, powerhouse from the Netherlands, Ajax, was knocked out by the Spanish team Getafe. Getafe is a really, really fierce team. They play like Atletico Madrid, just like we were talking before in the previous segment. They play with great defensive-minded approach, and they are not easy to beat. If you're not prepared to go against them, you'll fall down hard. So Ajax fell, just semi-finalist, just last year in the Champions League, fell down against Getafe. They got eliminated. Who else got knocked out? Let's see. In the very first knockout stage of the Europa League, Espanyol from Spain, they won the second leg, but still eliminated by English team Wolverhampton. FC Porto, one of the best team in Portugal, they got eliminated by German side Bayer Leverkusen, as well as fellow country team Sporting CP, the first team of Cristiano Ronaldo. They got eliminated by Turkish team Istanbul Basaksehir, or the Cyprus side Apoel Nicosia got knocked out by FC Basel, or Ghent, the team from Belgium, got knocked down from Rome. Another Portuguese team is out, Benfica, after drawing 3-3 in the second leg against Shakhtar Donetsk, got knocked out. And maybe the biggest fall in this whole first knockout stage of the Europa League was Arsenal. Arsenal won in Greece against Olympiacos 1-0, but then right at Emirates Stadium in London, I've been there, it's a beautiful stadium, they lost at home 1-2. So as a result, as you know, the aggregate was 2-2, but away goal rule, Olympiacos went through and Arsenal went home. So teams, there were of course 16 teams qualified for the second knockout stage, and they were Istanbul Basaksehir against Copenhagen, LASK from Austria against Manchester United, there were the Eintracht Frankfurt against Basel, Sevilla against Rome, Inter Milan against Getafe, Olympiacos against Wolverhampton, Rangers from Glasgow against Bayer Leverkusen, and Wolfsburg from Germany against the Ukrainian side, the Shakhtar Donetsk. These were the 8 games for the second knockout stage of the Europa League. And what's really important to say here is that 2 games of the first leg of this knockout stage were not played, because after coronavirus broke out severely in Italy, and slightly less severely, but still, it's a huge deal in Spain, the games between Sevilla and Rome and Inter against Getafe were not played at all, not even the first leg. Meanwhile, the other games were played at least in the first leg. So let's see what happened in all of them. For example, in the Olympiakos Wolverhampton game in Greece, in a beautiful stadium there in Greece, the Nuno Espírito Santo side, he is the Portuguese coach for Wolverhampton, managed to draw 1-1, which is a good result, of course, for the away team, because they will be able, in the second leg in Wolverhampton, they will be able, hopefully for them, they'll be able to, you know, to win and get the qualification. The goals were scored by Pedro Neto and Youssef El Arabi, who is a Moroccan striker who I really, really like for Olympiacos. The Rangers from Glasgow, coached by Steven Gerrard, the legend himself, of course, they lost badly at home, 1-3 against Leverkusen. The Peter Bosz team played pretty great soccer. Kai Havertz, one of the best young talent in Europe, scored a penalty. Leon Bailey, the Jamaican winger, came off the bench to score one. And Charles Aranguiz scored another goal for Leverkusen. So now the German side has a huge, huge advantage coming into the second leg. Speaking of German teams, Wolfsburg lost badly at home against a really strong Shakhtar team, guys. We remember they were playing in the Champions League group stages with Atlanta and Manchester City. And the rule says if you arrive third in your group in the Champions League, you go to the Europa League. So that's what Shakhtar did. They are in the Europa League now, and they are killing it. Arthur Moraes scored in Germany, and they have a pretty advantage now coming into the second leg, because Wolfsburg seem more concentrated on their domestic league in the Bundesliga. The fourth game we're talking about right now is the Istanbul Basaksehir, a Turkish team, against FK Copenhagen, the team from Denmark. In the first leg, this is probably not the greatest of these matchups, not great teams. I saw Istanbul Basaksehir live against Rome when they were playing into the group stage, and they are not that good. One of the best team in Turkey, though. And Basaksehir won. Basaksehir won thanks to a late goal by Adane Visca at the 88th minute. I remember I saw last season Copenhagen when they were playing Atalanta in the qualification game to get into the Europa League. And Copenhagen as well is not a great team, just very defensive-minded, 4-4-2, very low Barry Center. They miss former captain Claude Demir as well. It's not, you know, great, funny, offensive soccer. It's just not. In the fifth game, LASK, a team from Austria, from Linz, Austria, was smashed by powerhouse Manchester United, who found themselves in the Europa League, of course, because the Premier League is so tough. So they did not qualify for the Champions League, but they qualified for the Europa League. And they bought the striker recently, straight from China, he used to play for English side Watford as well, Odion Ighalo, who scored, who managed to serve an assist, who hit the crossbar, and Manchester United were 5-0 in Austria, so qualification is basically assured for them. They put the second team, the third team, the fourth team, the youth system, some random guys from the stands in the second leg in Old Trafford. Finally, a remarkable performance by Fred, the very expensive transfer from Manchester United a couple of summers ago. The last game of the Europa League that was played in the first leg of the second knockout stage was probably the most surprising, at least to me, because Eintracht Frankfurt, coached by Adi Hütter, was one of the best teams in the last edition of the Europa League. They went this close to knock out eventual champions Chelsea last season in the semi-finals. They went, all the way to the semi-finals with impressive, impressive performances, but they lost a couple of key players in the summer, and, for example, they lost Luka Jovic, the striker, the young Serbian striker, to Real Madrid, and they were not able to replicate last season. They lost at home 3-0 to FC Basel, so now they have a really tough time to come back in the competition and qualify for the quarterfinals. Basel found a great, great performance by offensive midfielder Campo, who scored and assisted the goal. Also, the midfielder Fabian Frey scored one, and Townland Xhaka, the brother of Granit Xhaka, who plays for Arsenal, had a pretty impressive game. So this was the Europa League review, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you'll find the Europa League as interesting as the Champions League games. I don't want to say they are better, but they're at least as interesting as the Champions League ones. And this is the end of the show as well. The fourth episode was really fun, despite the coronavirus news from all over the world. Thanks for sticking with us for the entirety of this episode of the Champions League. Make sure to stay safe and be excellent to one another. We'll see each other next Monday. Until then.